Good morning.
I'm sorry to hear that about your father, Pam. And we'll pray for him. Even as we're here now, gathered together, we'll pray. So I'll give you a few announcements quick, and we'll get right on in. Let Brother Steve teach what he has time to before that they may have to leave. Tonight there's going to be at 7:30 in the home builders class a high school graduate celebration over there. Also tonight at 7:30 there's going to be a cancer meeting in the chapel. And then on Tuesday there's going to be Oasis Potluck in the Family Life Center at 11:30. So if you're involved in these things, please remember them. I know we got a lot going on, and it's easy to let things slip your mind. So we'll also, in our Wednesday night this week, we're going to have a missionary from India. And I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. I would really mess it up if I did. So, but anyway, he's going to be here on Wednesday night, and I did hear the preacher mention that in the early service. So let's pray for him as he's going around the country and working on getting his support and things there. So on Sunday, May the 12th, next Sunday is Mother's Day. And we look forward to having all of you here. There's going to be a gift for all ladies that are 18 and above. And then with that being said, we got Vacation Bible School coming here very soon. And there are some forms out in the lobby out there that you can pick up if you would like to volunteer for the VBS. So please think about that as you consider whether you would like to serve or not, whether God would have you do that. Today we have condolences to the friends of Donna Gregg, who passed away on April 28th. We also have condolences to the family and friends of Cecil Ball, who passed on May the 1st. And then today there's going to be a celebration of life for Billy Snodgrass, and that's going to be at 3 p.m. today here in the church. So we need to pray for these families. They have a very difficult time to go through, and you know, God's able. He's able to give you peace in the storm, and he's able to give you that you need when these things come, and we know they will come. Also today, let's remember Pam's dad. Also, we're praying for our cancer patients, and I won't call all their names, but you know mostly who they are. It is good to see Debbie Deacons here today, and Debbie's not been able to come for a few weeks, so good to see her back. And then we're also good to have Carolyn Hodges back with us today. She's been out with broke foot and some rehab and things like that. So glad to see her back. And I was talking with Brother Joe there. He had some tests done, and he has some problems that we need to pray about with his spine. He's got some nerve problems back there and some things that, like all of us, they get wore out after we get to this point. So pray for Joe. And the CT scan that Pat had showed that everything was still about like it was. So we're praying for her. Praying for Ron and Wanda Huskins, for Pat Scalf and Randy. We're praying for Francis Lawson. And then we're thankful for Aviana. She's doing better, but they had another little issue that hit them this week, so we're still praying for the family. So y'all remember them. And then I know Miss Teresa's not here this morning, but she had a praise. We're just thankful that the Lord answers prayer, and he's answered prayer in her life. So is there anyone else that has something they'd like to give by way of hand or unspoken? Or yes, Nancy. Okay, so these people have lost loved ones too, and we're praying for them. Miss Shirley? Two unspoken? Two unspoken, okay. All right. Anything else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for loving us. God, you've seen us through many hard times down through life. And Lord, you've led us, you've guided us, and Lord, you're going to do it again and again, Lord, until you're ready to take us home. And Lord, we do pray for these families that have lost loved ones, and God, we pray that your peace and comfort would be with them. And then, Father, we just pray for these, like Pam's dad that's over in the emergency room right now, Lord. God, I pray that you'll intervene there. Lord, your hand would be upon him and the doctors and the nurses as they minister to his need. And Lord, we pray that your will be done there. And Father, just thank you so much for loving us. And thank you for the blessings that we have seen come to our church. And Lord, we just I want to give you praise today. Thank you for Brother Steve. He's going to come and speak to us. Lord, help us to pray for him as he teaches. And Father, just bless the morning service this morning with our pastor. And God, we pray for those that may be here today, Lord, that don't know you. Pray that your spirit would work in their hearts and lives, and God, they would hear that word, and Father, they would accept it and accept what you did for them at the cross. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Danny. Thank you. Well, I know probably 2 or 3 weeks ago I said I was going to try to retire, semi-retire, or something. But the pastor has asked me to hang in here for a while, which is fine with me. Pam and I really can't do anything until our home sells, and we're in the middle of all that, and kind of get in a new one, smaller. We're trying to really downsize. I don't need 6,500 feet for two of us. But anyway, that's what's going on. So you're going to get me for a while longer. So I want to ask you this. We've seen all this garbage going on in the world and with the students around this great country, where they're so confused, they're praising terrorists, basically, and standing up for their rights. And they've been hollering this thing from the river to the sea. And I've seen some news people ask them, well, what do you mean by that? They have no idea. They're just out there protesting and have no idea what's going on. So I got to thinking, I got to looking back, and there's some lessons that I probably have from years ago, and I know Preacher Lastly preached on too, and I've got his notes, that talks about the royal grant, the original piece of land that God gave the nation of Israel. Would you guys like to hear that again? I mean, I don't know if you've heard it, but I could go through that and talk about how all that happened with how God appointed from the river to the sea to the nation of Israel. And how things went sideways when Abraham would not wait on the Lord for a child, and Hagar come and got involved, and they had that child which went out into the world. And from that line, we have the Muslim line, the Palestinian line, and that commingles in, into the whole mess with the nation of Israel, because they're where they're at today, because we know their history from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and how they've been, how they turned their back on Jesus, they turned their back on God, they followed after idols and all that that went on. There's a history there, there's a timeline there, and I think I would like to jump on that. It would take me about a month or so to go through that. Would you like to, would you like to hear that? Just shake your head if you'd like to hear that. Okay. All right, well, I'll start studying on that again and get out my old notes and things, and see if we can really, we need to, we, this lesson I did today, we need to have an answer for people. When somebody says, well, what's from the river to the sea mean? We need to be able to say that God gave this royal grant, you know, some 6,000-7,000 years ago, and it gave it to the nation of Israel. We need to be able to answer that question and other questions. And I know everybody's not digging hard in a word for details like that, but I think that's, it's been brought forward by these heathens, that they feel like that land is theirs. And that goes back to Hagar and her son, and how they feel like when they had to leave the camp of Abraham, it just goes right back to that. And anyway, we can get into that. But today I want to look, we've been talking about Paul and Timothy. I want to kind of finish Timothy up. And I jumped over to 2 Timothy and went to chapter 3 to start this lesson. And Paul charges, he charges Timothy with an order here, or God does. Paul writes it down in the influence of the Holy Spirit. He says, in difficult times, it's going to be hard to perform Christian service. And we can see that today in the world that we live in this new generation. Do they call it Generation Z, I think, that these young people are in? And X, it's X, yeah. And a lot of these kids just don't know. And some of the, and this letter that Paul wrote was writing to the Christians at Philippi. These were saved people that this letter went to. And he's telling them what's going on and what to look out for. Let's get started, and we'll read some verses here. In 2 Timothy verse chapter 3, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, if that's not true today, I don't know when it ever has been. I know through history, through the Dark Ages, and through all that, there's been perilous times. But for the modern man, as we see today, and the nation of Israel in the position that they're in, where they've come home and they have their nation, part of their nation, you know, what does it mean? What is the West Bank, and why is the Palestinian people got this piece of land, and all that stuff is just Old Testament stuff that we can dig into later on. But Timothy is being told here that to remember this great apostasy which was to occur. Well, has it occurred? Has our churches become numb to the gospel? I mean, I know of people. There is no doubt in my mind, I think there's people sitting in this church, we've got so many new people that claim they've been saved, and they probably are. But do they know what saved them? And they can say they're saved and believe they're saved and was raised up that, you know, people get so confused with, if they get, if, you know, you can look at the old-time Methodists. I mean, those guys had it figured out. But look at them today. What a mess the Methodists are in. They can't even figure out. I don't want to say the wrong thing. They can't even follow the Bible enough to figure out who can be a preacher in a church. Confusion. And the devil's the author of confusion. So we see that these times that, that Paul was talking about was coming at Timothy, and we know that Rome destroyed the church. This was about 69 and 70. Rome destroyed the Jerusalem there and tore down the wall and the temple and all that kind of stuff. So he was saying that hard times is going to come when you may not even be able to preach the gospel. And we've heard our pastor say that. We've got a lovely day today, but what's tomorrow? We don't know. So it is a great, in the latter days, there's going to be a great departing of the faith. There's all kinds of verses that talks about that. We can go back to 1 Timothy 4:1 talks about that. Some of the characteristics of apostasy is giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. Now, you can hear all kinds of what people believe is the right thing. And just like some of these interviews with these young people that's doing this protest, they don't know anything about history or the United States or what's going on in the world or Israel or all that. They're just in there having a big time with a few agitators. So, I mean, we have to be smart on how we present the word to people. And we have to be smart about realizing this person says they're saved, but let's talk about that. In a really kind way, we have to really be careful how we may step on toes. And a lot of times, if you live your life as a Christian, do the right thing, come to church, come to Sunday school, and people know that, and they look at you and say, there's one of them weird ones, go down there at Buffalo Ridge or whatever. I mean, people look at that. So we are a walking testimony, especially being from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, that we need to be able to give the right word in just a minute. Can you lead somebody to Christ? Can you take the Romans road? That's easy to do, and lead somebody to Christ. And verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Well, where does that hit today? I mean, lovers of their own selves, it's just evidence of being selfish. Can you be saved and be selfish? Yes, you can. Can you be saved and the evidence of your salvation shine and being a selfish person, being, I want this or I want that. Oh, look at what they have. You know, coveting things. Selfish means lovers of oneself. I mean, we've all had selfish things in our life. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I've had things I wanted so bad and was ready to go into debt for them and didn't. You know, and I think about that old boat that's sitting down there right now, a Ranger bass boat that I wanted so bad 30 years ago. Couldn't afford it then. And if I would have bought it, I probably could afford it. I was in church. I was teaching Sunday school. I had little fellas running all over the church. And if I'd have started fishing in tournaments, they happen on Sunday. It would have took me away from church. I'm so glad that I didn't do that. God protected me from that. He really did. And I like to fish. And I've got the boat now. Most of the time it sits in the shed. But that's, you know, God worked all that out. Covetousness, lovers of silver or money. Man, the world's just driven on money. We see a great separation now in our economy and the mess it's in. We see the middle class, sadly, the working middle class is disappearing. I was talking to my son in Knoxville the other day. He said, "Dad, I don't know how my kids are going to afford to even get started without me helping them." Well, I helped mine a little bit, but it wasn't nothing like today. A normal little old bitty little old, what Pam and I call a little mamaw house, is $300,000 or $400,000. And you know, kids go to borrow that kind of money at 7.5%, 8%, and they say it ain't gonna slow down. The world is just, and all these young people believe they put their headset down and lay their phone down, and I need money. Can you give me money? I need to go buy this, or I need that, or I need this. Well, they get to the age where they need to go work. And we have to be, as grandparents and parents, we have to stand up for what's right and say, teach your children how to work. Because if they don't, they're going to fall right into that worldly thing and covet things. And they this selfish covetous, and then they become bitter about not having, and then they can be boasters, backbiters. They speak ill of their parents, because it says right there in that verse, disobedient to parents. Well, my parents won't give me anything. They won't buy me a car, or they want this, or they want that. Unthankful. Is kids thankful today? Is there a generation that's thankful? I mean, so many people just, you can pick up something and they don't even think, here you drop this. And you give it to them and they just turn and walk away. No, there's no manners anymore. There's no more yes sir, yes ma'am, and take your hat off when you come in a facility. And you know, basic stuff that we learned years ago as gentlemen. And in the military, you take your cover off when you go inside. Your hat. So we see that this boasting thing, they're backbiters, proclaim them to be, that they proclaim that they can publicly make announcements that's contrary to the truth. But they think it's the truth. We've got that out there right now. And how do you witness to somebody like that? I mean, it could get difficult. It could get heated, and we don't want that. We don't want to get heated with these people. They're proud. They're proud of and their self-esteem and their unreasonable concepts of one's superiority in society, and them people over there have it and we're going to take it. They don't deserve it because they don't know how to do anything with it. It's just incredible what some of these people think. Blaspheming, you know, it can it's a word that's used to when you talk ugly about God, but it also means to speak evil of anyone. One of the things that kids want to do is tear down other kids. Well, it's just all these social media things. It's so dangerous for kids that's young. I don't understand people giving phones to kids under 16 years old. It's just, they can't handle it. Disobedient to parents. I mean, one of the things in the Bible, what flat out says, obey your parents. And some kids, you wonder, you go to the store and you're seeing what's going on over in another aisle, and you think, my goodness, how does it get to that point? It's the world that we live in today, guys. Without natural affection, truce breakers, verse 3, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Without natural affection. Now, what Paul was talking about there, he really was applying it to the heathen of that day, of what was going on in the religion in that particular part of the world. So we're right in kind of Turkey area there, up in the head of the, and all back into Asia and everywhere in that part of the world, these people were worshiping idols. And I know you've heard it before, but without natural affection to their children, they just didn't care. They were fooled by the talk of the sorcerers and the devils, and they had an idol there burning red fire with hands sticking out, and they put their babies on that and fry them alive. Now, is that natural affection without natural affection? Of course it is. And do we have that today in our society? Well, yeah, we have a group of people that wants to kill babies in the womb. We have politicians and says it's all right up until after they're born. What a mess we're in. And how do you witness to somebody that believes abortion is right? Because they think it's the truth and they think it's right. And we know that the Bible says it's murder and it's wrong. I mean, that's difficult. It's just what Paul's talking about. It's difficult dealing with how people think and what they think the truth is. But we have to go by what God says. And it says they're truce breakers and false accusers. That just speaks for itself. You can't do anything. I started business in 79. Back then, I could operate on a handshake. If I went to some mine owner and he said, I want you to do this work or that work, and I said, well, it'll be this much and that much, probably a monthly this and that. He says, that sounds all right. Shake hands on it, and we went on. You can't do that today. Everybody wants a confidentiality. Everybody wants lawyers involved to do anything because people are truce breakers. They won't. You say, now, you can't be speaking about what's going on here because it'll hurt our business. I understand. I'm not going to say anything. Well, you've got to sign this to say that you understand. That's part of the business world today because people are just not truthful. They're false. They're false accusers. We all know what that is. In this incontinence word, I didn't know what that really meant. And it literally said it's without strength. It's without strength to. It's without strength to resist peer pressure. Well, everybody's doing it, and I guess it's okay. That's what Paul's saying here. You're going to deal with this. Because people believe that if everybody's doing it, it's okay. Well, that's what they think. It's bound to be right. Well, who are they? I never have figured this they thing out. Everybody says, well, they think this. Well, who are they? Well, I'm not sure who they are. Well, they is wrong. And we need to be able to say not only that they're wrong, but here's what the Word says. I know that puts a lot on our shoulders and on our backs, but if we don't contend for the faith today, where's it going to be 50 years from now? It's not looking well. And then it says, fierce despisers of those that are good. We see this in high school so much. These people try to be fierce and intimidate other kids, bullying. It's become a problem in school. And all the high schools have to have counselors for that. And despisers of those that try to do the right thing. Those kids that go to church or try to go to church. They make fun of them. They make fun of homeschoolers. They make fun of anything that has to do with Christ in front of it or behind it. Because they're not saved and they don't care how mean their words are to other kids. Truth, you know, and can adults be that way? Of course we can. We're just old sinners saved by grace. I mean, I can get ugly sometimes if I don't hold my tongue. Things happen. Anymore with all the traffic you got, somebody's going to cut you off or jump in front of you or get right up under your bumper. And that irritates. And you got to tell our young people that are just learning to drive, just keep on, pay no attention to what they're doing. And they go by in, you know, they're sticking their hand up and all that stuff's going on. I mean, it's just the world that we've come to be in is here, and we have it to deal with. Despisers of them that are good. Traitors, heady-minded, lovers of pleasure more than they love God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For such turn away, God says. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, leading them with sin, led away with diverse lust. I mean, we can say they put women in there. Well, we can put men in there also. Mankind in there also. We can all be led away by our lust. Now, this one here really hit me. Ever learning, in verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many people do you think is in this church now? We've got so many new people that have the head knowledge but don't have the truth in their heart. I mean, a lot of people got head knowledge. And I know all you do. And I think all of you got it in your heart that Jesus Christ saved my ever-dying soul. And know that it's not baptism. It wasn't that church that I went to. I got sprinkled or this or that. Or I was in this church and that church. And oh, they were right. Oh, they had beautiful choir robes on. The choir was so pretty. And all the music was just, oh my goodness, we can just. No, none of that saves you. Right church, the enough money, paying the tithe, doing all that stuff that we do. Because we do it here because we love the Lord. It becomes false. It becomes very false. But ever learning. I thought about that. Go to college. There's kids. Levi deals with kids all the time in the UK that are in their second or third year of college. And some of them, they say they're saved, and they can give you an outline of how it happened because they've learned it in school. But they're ever learning. They're getting head knowledge. And until someone gets it in their heart, they don't get it. They don't have that salvation that you and I have, that we have. So we have to watch out for that too, ever learning. Because people come and say, let's go read this verse right here. Here's what I think it means. Well, again, you can't pull that one verse out of a chapter. You got to look before and after and dig a little bit. People try to justify some things. They can get heady and fierce over it. Then Paul charges us in verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. All those things right there are of the Holy Spirit. Gives us. What a gift that God gave us is the Holy Spirit. What a gift. We can start going sideways, and as the old preacher last year said, I'll get checked. Putting that football language in there. We have to have patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, with persecutions I endured, But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Have you been delivered from a persecution? Have you been delivered from something difficult? Yea, all that I will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly. Are you living a godly life? In Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord that you can say his name and heads will turn. Just walk through the mall and say, Jesus, and watch people stop and look at you. That name will turn heads. That name will save lives and save souls. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These people are deceiving and they're being deceived. But I count thou in these things which thou hast leaded and has been accused of, knowing of whom thou hast leaded them. And that for a child thou shalt know the Holy Scriptures. From the child I knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Here's a good verse. Everybody's heard this verse. All scriptures are given an inspiration of God. Do you believe that? That every word in our Bible is God-breathed. Every word. We can't just pull one out and say, I don't agree with that. It's God's word. And you got people that want to pull them out and change it around, this version, that version, leave that out, leave that verse out, leave these words out, change the words around. You got to be careful with that too. I know I'm King James, always have been. Some people are not, but we're not going to part ways over that. You just kindly talk about that. When the opportunity comes. For all scriptures are given inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, profitable for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Instruction. Is that ever learning that we talked about a while ago that? No, it's not. It's two different things. It was head knowledge, learning the facts, knowing how to outline it, knowing how to put it down on a piece of paper and present it in front of a class. Instruction in righteousness is two different things. We got to have our hearts right. It's a heart thing. Righteousness don't just happen. We've got to ask God for it through the Holy Spirit and let him touch our hearts through our mind. And try to become like Christ. We're never going to get there on this old planet. And then Paul says there, let's go on down to 2 Timothy 4:1, and it says, I charge thee therefore before God. Now, I charge thee there before God. This is Paul speaking, God's words. I charge thee there before God. I charge you, me. You're charged before God today. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Now that's talking about when he comes back at the end of the 7-year tribulation, sets up his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. Preach the word in season. Be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You see, he puts that in there, the all long suffering. We can't get ill at folks. You start getting on edge and getting that voice elevated, you got to speak and say, you know, the Lord loves you. What you've done is not the right thing. You need to trust Christ in your heart. We need to be long suffering. and kind. For the time will come when there will not, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It means they don't want to hear it. You can't tell them. Some people you just can't tell. They're ugly about it. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall they turn into fables. They're going to listen to other people tell a story. Oh, that's not real. That's just a fable. That's not real. Here's what they're trying to say. But which thou in all things endureth affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. What is thy ministry? Right now, my ministry is to prepare Sunday school lessons for you guys and be ready to witness to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Do you have a New Testament that you carry around in the car? I mean, we can check ourselves. We can check ourselves. Not only the Holy Spirit checks us, but we can check ourselves. Are we ready for this kind of society? Is it on us? If it's not, it's sure close. There's so much confusion. And we've all felt it. Everybody you talk to just feels like it's just unsettled. The world is unsettled. Life is unsettled. There's not enough money to make mean ends. Things are hard. It's difficult for young people to get a family and get a home. That may be a thing of the past. Our world is fundamentally changing, and will it ever go back? God tells us that it's going to be this way in the end. This is just another sign, another chapter in the Bible that Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things down. Not only for Timothy in that day, but for us today. For us today. May the Lord help us to be ready to talk to people and confront. Our silence is not helping anything. This world is outspoken with their ugly opinions. We need to be ready to give the word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Lord, I just pray that you'd help me, help us to be ready to give the word anytime, in season, out of season, wherever we're at. Try to point people toward Christ. The truth of the matter is they need to be saved so they can go to heaven. Lord, we love you for that salvation and that gift of the Holy Spirit and salvation, Lord, that has saved our ever dying souls. God, thank you so much. Jesus, thank you so much. Lord, give us a blessed day. Help the pastor preach the word, teach the word, and change lives, and see someone saved in this church today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, guys.